I hit record. I can see my voice. I'm going to quote a movie to test my voice. I'm going to say, take this quarter, go downtown, and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face. Good day to you, madam. Yeah, my vocals are fine. I should have said something. Yes, we're good. Go ahead.
Rooney, calm down. Welcome, everyone, to the podcast this evening. My name is Joe Neal, and with me in the virtual studio is Jason Mark, my brother from another mother but the same grandmother. And when I started this podcast with Jason, I knew that if anyone ever listened to the show, it would be confiscated, taken away. So I hid it in the one place I knew I could hide something, my ass. I've hid this uncomfortable excuse for entertainment up my ass for 2.5 years, and now, listener, we give this podcast to you. Just because.
That was good. You got me. I didn't realize what you were doing until you did it. Till you're done doing it. Yeah. Till you're done doing it. Yeah. Done doing it. How are you, Mr. Joe? Mr. Co from Anomo, same grandmo? How's it going? What's happening? What have you been up to?
I'm totally relaxed. Mm-hmm. I've barely done any work all week.
Yeah.
Recharged.
Rested.
I haven't felt frustrated or overwhelmed all week. I'm just kidding.
You got me going again, dude. That's your 2 for 2.
No, it's like normal. I know that we're recording on a different day
than usual.
And you'd think if we're recording on Sunday, then maybe I'd have some time. But my normal complaint, you know, is that I'm fucking tired. And
yeah,
it's the same thing.
Yeah,
but I've been working really hard all week and then all weekend too.
Oh, there's man, been, what have you been doing?
Well, my wife decided that it's time to kind of like reorganize.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah,
and so with reorganization, I'm talking about furniture and like throwing things away. I like this process. It's cool.
I thought
throw a bunch of stuff away.
I thought you were talking about like she's like, no, stand over there. No, stand over there. Okay, move your arm.
Strangely, there seems to be a lot of that too.
Oh, yeah?
Except it's me moving something and then standing over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'll move an end table or like a a lamp, and I'll stand over there. The thing is, just moving stuff around, throwing stuff away, that's a lot of fun. Well, it can be.
Are you Marie Kondoing it?
And it has to do with cleaning behind this stuff that hasn't moved anywhere for a long time. So there's been a lot of cobwebs, dust.
And are you Marie Kondoing things?
Am I what?
Marie Kondoing.
Never heard that word.
I made it up. Well, actually, other people have said it. Marie Kondo's that, sorry. I'm drinking.
I made that word up. Actually, no, I didn't.
Well, I mean, what I mean to say is Marie Kondo, our listener knows this, I'm sure. Marie Kondo's that lady who's like, how to, declutter your life, and you look at everything and you say, does this bring you joy?
And if it does, you keep it. This is based on Marie. That was the name. Okay.
Yeah.
I missed that. I thought you just actually just spat out random syllables. And you were like, how's that word sound? Is that good?
Does it
seem to work? If you were to say it in conversation. Anyway, no, it was a, who's the lady?
Marie Kondo.
Is she the lady where you have to find joy in something?
Yeah, exactly.
And if you don't, you have to throw it in the dumpster?
Yeah. Yeah, for example, here's some facts about Marie Kondo, which have nothing to do with tonight's topic, but we'll get there. Her last name is a verb in her language, and she doesn't like pants.
Okay.
Yeah. Now,
is that what the verb means?
Hey, check out Kondo over there. Nice skirt, boy. Yeah, no. I don't know, but that's a good question. Are there any?
See, when you said that word, the first thing that I heard was recondoing, and I was like, I was trying to put it together. You know how brains will try to create associations.
Yes.
And I was like, recondoing. Does that mean like when you're renovating your condo or like redoing your condo?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, he's Is he going crazy? I've got a house. I don't know what he's talking
about. Yeah, yeah.
That's what happened in my brain.
So have you guys been doing this sparks joy? This doesn't. Like, have you thrown out any movies? Since we're supposed to be talking about movies tonight.
By the way, welcome to the movie episode. To our listener, just in case they didn't know what the theme was today.
I think they might have figured out. We had three movie quotes in a row, so one of them adulterated.
We started it off, we set the tone, and then we abandoned it.
Do you want to know the other one I was going to use? What's going to be?
What's that?
Where did it go? I was going to... let me find it, because I accidentally clicked past it. I was going to do... where did it go? Not Spinal Tap. Where'd it go?
Hey, you know,
now you've got a corpse in a car.
What are you doing, man? What's going on over there?
I'm trying to figure out what it was, and I read a better one than I should have done because I didn't look enough.
Okay. Well, you know how every once in a while on this podcast, like, some weird coincidence will happen?
Yeah.
And it almost seems like we colluded with one another beforehand, but we don't.
Yeah, that's our thing.
Almost never we do. In fact, it wouldn't be fun if we were coming up with this stuff. No. We're doing this to entertain each other, right?
So yeah, exactly.
I got it, though. I knew you were going to do a movie quote, though, and I got it right away. That was from Uncle Buck.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
And do you know what quote my movie was from?
Yes, but I don't remember it. What did you say?
I said, Rooney, calm down.
Oh, no, I don't know what that's from.
Which happens to be a line from a movie that I used to watch movies sitting on my knees when I was, like, 10 years old.
Okay.
In front of the television.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Face to face with the television.
Yeah, yeah.
That line from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh.
Used to crack me up. I used to fall over backwards off my knees onto my back laughing at that. Because it's something about Cameron calling up
the principal.
Rooney or whatever the hell and just fucking with him.
Yeah.
I loved that. Loved it. But anyway... the coincidence, correct me if I'm wrong, did we both pick John Hughes movies?
I don't know.
Were those both John
Hughes
movies?
Is Uncle Buck, well, I'll have to look it up, is he?
If Uncle Buck isn't a John Hughes movie, it's pretty damn close. You got John Candy, you got Macaulay cocking the ass.
Yeah, it is. I looked it up. It's directed by John Hughes.
More about asses and later.
That guy, I mean, I want to finish your Marie Kondoing story, and if you've thrown out any movies, I want you to be able to finish that, but let's then come back to John Hughes, because if you can talk about John Hughes, that's a movie. This could be the John Hughes episode for crying out loud.
One of the fun things about the show is that I can't really predict which way it's going to go, usually, even if I bring stuff to talk about. We'll just go another direction. That's a lot of fun. Okay. John Hughes, we can do that. I just wanted to say, with the Marie Kondo, is that her name?
Yeah.
Marie Kondoing, my process is the opposite. I go through things, and I don't look for things that bring me joy. I look for things that are attached to some emotional disturbance or things that I feel nothing for, and I throw those things away.
Okay.
So I'm not looking for joy necessarily. I'm looking for emotional disturbance or
or
emotional
absence.
Withdrawal.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, clearly, this thing needs to go.
Yeah. You know what you're doing? You're doing this. You're doing. You look at a thing. You go, if this came out of my butt, would I flush? And if the answer is yes, you flush. Yeah.
Well, I've got a lot of shit. we're flushing a lot of it.
Say that again. Say that you have a lot of shit.
You know, I've got a lot of shit.
Okay.
Hey!
Whee! Meta!
It's the movie episode.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this. I'm like, oh, I've got movie episode, but I just know we're going to talk about asses again. A lot.
Probably.
And I just realized that I was like, well, all right, think of an intro that's very movie related. And I did. And it's also about sticking something in your butt.
Of course. It always is.
So there it is. I started off, yes, it's movie themed, but there's still something up my ass.
Let's let's talk about John Hughes now. I didn't know he was dead.
Yeah.
I didn't know he's dead.
Well, you remember that John Hughes movie where Steve Martin's hand was in John Candy's butt?
Yes. I didn't realize that was a John Hughes movie, but apparently it was. Yeah, he did.
Well, most John Hughes movies are like teenager movies, right?
Well, yeah. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page. 16 Candles was his debut. I didn't realize. I mean, I knew it was his. I didn't know that was his first. Wow, so, like, good job, kudos, Hughes. Man. Let's see. He also did The Breakfast Club.
Give me some Uncle Buck, man.
Well, he also did.
Look down the list.
I am. I'll get there. He also did The Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, Weird Science, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and Some Kind of Wonderful, man. Right?
I was going to see if I could name all of them.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have let you.
It's okay.
Okay, well, then, okay, what did he do? So his.
Can you ask me? Because I don't have Wikipedia up. I'm not cheating. I swear to God, listener, I'm not cheating. Well, give me some sort of challenge, John Hughes challenge.
Okay, his non-teen movies, then, I guess. Is, just say okay, what's left. Well,
if you want to call Uncle Buck, if it's his movie, and I think that it was.
It is, yeah.
I'm going to call that an adult movie, even though there was a teenage storyline in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a lot about his relationship with the teenage daughter, I believe. But
that's right. Who I had a horrible crush on. When I say horrible, I don't mean that I just had a very big crush on. I mean my crush was horrible. Like, I would do things like go up to my little brother and say, can you wear this wig? Can you wear this dress? Yeah, it was horrible. But anyway.
And then you would, like, role play?
I would get really shy.
Joel?
No.
If he were the daughter from Uncle Buck?
No. Joel Michael, my brother, I would I would just get shy and, like, kind of, like, not even look at him. You know, and he's sitting there with
these
a mom.
These were your fantasies?
Yeah, pretty much.
That is horrible. That is a horrible crush.
He's wearing one of mom's dresses and a pair of pantyhose is, like, 18 sizes too big for him, sitting there playing Atari on our gigantic 28-inch television, and I'm just over
the
in the
TV
kitchen.
That's longer than it is wide.
Exactly. And I'm over in the kitchen just peeking, going, yeah.
Well, I just want to say that if you were dressing your little brother up like the teenage girl from Uncle Buck, that is not right.
Well, that's what I said. It was a horrible crush, Joe. I'm not proud of it.
It's bucked up, dude. Thank you. Hey.
Okay, so name some more. You named Uncle Buck. Let's go. Keep going.
Uncle Buck, let's consider that a John Hughes movie that was not a teenager movie.
Yeah.
Home Alone is not a teenager movie.
Yep, you're right.
And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Right.
There's another one. Is there another... That's it, right?
Well,
that's
okay. It. I'm going to... He didn't direct, but he wrote Home Alone 2 and Home Alone 3. But do you know what his final film as a director was?
Ooh.
Bet you don't. It has the non-good Belushi, Jim Belushi, Kelly Lynch, Allison Porter. I've never seen this movie, so I can't tell you anything about it. It's Curly Sue.
Curly Sue.
Curly right. Sue. That's kind of anticlimactic, isn't it? But even better than that is, let me read to you
I do know some trivia about that movie, though.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I've never seen it.
Okay.
I believe, and this is not interesting at all, so get ready. The little girl from that movie, I remember her face. I can see her face.
Yeah, and, cute little girl.
Guess what? She's got curly hair. She's a little girl with curly hair.
Yeah.
Couple things about her. I think that she was like the face of Pepsi Cola in the 80s or something for a while. She was the cute little girl in the Pepsi Cola commercial. And I think shortly after this very short time in show business, I think she stopped. She didn't like get more roles. She was just a child actor, and then she moved on. Now she's just a civilian, I guess.
Well,
okay. And she has been since.
I looked it up, and there's no mention. There's no mention of Pepsi in her Wikipedia page, Joe. So I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm not going to say you're right. And her filmography, while not extensive, is not bare. She worked all the way up to 2008. In film, and all the way up to 2016 on television.
But then she did leave, right? But, like, her last project as an actor was probably when she was a teenager, though, right? So I'm not too far.
Well, I don't... Yeah, I think you're probably right. I
don't
tell
know
you this.
Why I want so badly to be right about this. Maybe it's because okay. I hope I don't have a false memory about...
Oh, you definitely do. That's how memories work, dude. Hey, listener, well, just so you know.
I don't mean to be like a boredom machine on our comedy podcast, but like, if could you type into YouTube Curly Sue actress Pepsi Cola?
Well, I'll see what happens. What I'll do is use her real name, right? Allison Porter. And for those of you who are also giggling, Googling. Allison is spelled A-L-I-S-A-N, so don't fuck it up. So yeah, Allison Porter, Pepsi, commercial. I hit the button,
I'm over here. I'm treating you like an idiot. I'm like,
no.
Just use the name Curly Sue, because you're not going to be able to figure out what her real name is.
I just told you what her real name is. It's Allison Porter with an A.
I know. I was treating you like an idiot. I'm like, just type in Curly Sue.
Okay.
It was insulting, and I apologize. Now, did you see anything? Did you find anything?
Yes. Who you're thinking of is Halle Eisenberg.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oops. Okay. Well, let's change subjects, or maybe go back to more interesting John Hughes shit, if there's anything else.
Well, that was the last movie he did, but I did want to read to you... there she is, Halle Eisenberg. I can see why you got the two confused. She's a super cutie. She was in and on...
Big curly hair, too?
Yeah, She was... she did... IMDb doesn't read very well. Polly, Nicholas's Gift, Blue Moon, Swing Vote, Little Inside, The Insider by Santana, Man, Get Real, Beautiful, The Wonderful World of Disney, you know, that kind of shit. But let me read to you some of the films that John Hughes didn't make, okay? These are his unproduced screenplays. These are his unrealized projects, okay? Ready?
Yes.
Jaws 3, People Zero. That's good.
No shit.
Yeah. The History of Ohio from the Beginning of Time to the End of the Universe, a.k.a. National Lampoon's Dakron, Ohio, with P.J. O'Rourke. He also wrote a screenplay called The Joy of Sex, A Dirty Love Story. I'm going to skip a few here. Bartholomew versus Neff. He did a movie called The Nanny, The Buckster, Ball and Chain. He wrote a script for a live-action Peanuts film. Oh, man. Who would play Charlie Brown?
Oh, man. You got me thinking about that, but
yeah,
we got to come up with someone to play Charlie Brown before we move on. But then I suggest that we do.
Okay, we can move on. I can just
No. Who's going to play Charlie Brown?
Or
like even in the '80s, who would have played Charlie Brown?
Oh, in the '80s,
you know, it'd be a good movie.
What?
Just Charlie Brown in the future, like once Charlie Brown as an adult.
Sure. I'm sure that's been done.
And John Hughes would have written a hell of a script for that.
Oh, like the movie is not the Peanuts gang running around not kicking footballs. Well, the movie would be them as adults.
Catch up with the Peanuts gang, but you could make it ultra realistic and like tongue in cheek, though.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Charlie Brown's still kind of a depressed, mopey, you know,
yeah,
overly anxious dude. I don't know. Maybe this isn't a good idea.
No.
I mean,
I'm looking right here. Apparently, there was a Broadway play about Charlie Brown or something, and on Broadway, he was portrayed by Anthony Rapp. Now, I don't know. I've never seen this guy before. I'm looking at his picture. He don't look like Charlie Brown. His face is square. It's not round. So I think they fucked up. That's probably why. Oh, that reminds me.
You know what they could have done? They could have done an adult Charlie Brown, where like the depression's spiraled his life into a really harsh position, and they could have had Jonah Hill play him.
Oh, Jonah Hill would be a good Charlie Brown.
Like a foul-mouthed,
yeah,
cruel Charlie Brown.
I think Jonah Hill is capable of doing it straight, though. I mean, he can be foul-mouthed. I mean, Jonah Hill is a really talented person, but I think that if someone's like, look, we just want you to be quintessentially Charlie Brown, I think he could do it.
And you could have it be him, like, during his divorce from Lucy.
Oh, did he end up marrying Lucy? Okay.
Well, I
thought she would have. Maybe he hooks up with Lucy because she's getting a divorce from Schroeder. But then again, maybe Schroeder's gay and he's like, "Look, Lucy, I know you want my ass, but you can't have it. I'd rather date Linus." Right?
Yeah,
that'd be a good movie.
We're on to something. I don't think our Peanuts movie would ever see the light of day.
Anthony Rapp, who played Charlie Brown on Broadway. This is his other claim to fame. He's one of the people that accused Kevin Spacey of groping and poking. So there you go.
Oh.
Yeah. Do we want to? I don't think we should talk about that aspect of movie.
Good grief. Okay, there. Man, I knew there was a joke there. Got it. Thanks, man.
You bet.
Look,
do we want to talk about that part of movies, though?
Sorry, no. We're talking over each other. What was your question?
Do we want to talk, when we were talking about movies, do we want to talk about the fact that most film producers are sexual predators? Do we want to go down that avenue? Because it's still movies, or do you want to talk about movies as movies?
Well, I have seen a couple of movies that I wanted to discuss with
you. Yeah, let's do that.
Today.
Okay.
Have you seen any movies that are worth talking about?
Maybe I have. I just can't remember. I did see Ready Player One recently. I watched it on the old Hulu or the Netflix or something. Maybe it was HBO now.
I remember many, many episodes ago we were talking to Ian Sane, and you guys, I had just read the book, and I rather enjoyed it, and then you guys kind of explained to me why
that was
a problem, or that you didn't like the book.
Yeah, we shat
and
on
I
it.
I saw the movie, and they changed everything around. A lot of the stuff that I liked about the book wasn't in the movie, though the movie was like... It was eye candy, and sometimes that's all I need.
Yeah, no, it was. That's very true. I thought that, like, the movie, in my opinion, and I'm just a dude, the movie wasn't all that great, but I liked it more than I liked the book. I was more entertained.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I thought that there was a lot more references that I enjoyed in the book. Like, there was just, and that was your criticism of the book. It's like, look, if you're just going to throw in a bunch of nostalgia to trigger good memories in Joe's brain, then that's a cheap trick.
Yeah.
Like, okay, fair enough. But a part of the book that I liked is that it was a video game. He was very good, I think, writing the book, making the what the protagonist was going through was very video game like, and it had references from real video games in there, so it kept me entertained. And perhaps it was a cheap trick, but see, there wasn't as much of that in the movie, so I'm on the flip side here. I was looking forward to depictions of all these puzzles and weird stuff that they had in the book and video game references they had in the book that were completely abandoned in the movie. Yeah. So
and the movie was, there's a huge, huge, huge black spot in it. Not as bad in the book, but we're talking about movies. This huge black spot where it's basically like we're in a future of where virtual reality is hyper real, and you can do virtually anything in there, and people prefer to be in it. Now, other movies have been made in that vein, but in this one, that's what's going on. So you've got this very advanced technology, but everything is the movie is dedicated to worshiping these shitty, you know, video games back from the 70s and 80s, right? And so it's like, if you're going to make a movie about video games and this whole justice thing, and, you know, if anybody's seen the movie, the whole gamers rise up and overthrow the evil corporation, whatever, if you're going to do that and you're going to ignore all of the social issues that come with gaming, we'll do that on another podcast, then at least pay a tiny bit of homage to technologically better video games. You know, because you don't go from Atari's Adventure to VR. There are steps along the way. And along the way, people's attitude towards gaming changes, people's abilities with gaming changes, the demographics change. You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with there being a corporate dickhead who hires literally hundreds of people to help him with an egg hunt in virtual space. I don't have a problem with that. But I wanted to see, you know, more of those guys being something along the lines of, okay, I'm a first person expert, so put me on the first person stuff. Oh, I'm a platformer. Oh, I'm a, you know.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. It really kind of focused on early video games and then just kind of shot into this ultra advanced thing. And so it didn't really pay homage to the video game culture as a whole.
No, it was basically just
and the development of video games.
Yeah, it
might
was
have been more interesting for you. Okay.
It was a glorified, it's a glorified trivia contest on the subject of 8-bit gaming. I mean, that's basically what it was. If you could figure out the trivia, the puzzle. So it wasn't about gaming. It was about, you know, and that's fine. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. If that's what the movie's supposed to be about, it's supposed to be nostalgic and all this stuff. Okay, sure. But I know Steven Spielberg is capable of a little bit more nuance. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah. What well, movies? Sometimes I think what he is trying to do is he's got the reins of all the most the best visual effects and just visually. I feel like sometimes he picks movies or stories to tell where he can just create this huge visual spectacle. And the story is a little bit secondary. It's Steven Spielberg. You're right. He's capable of great storytelling, though. I think sometimes it's just like, look at this, man.
Yeah.
Because I can make anything you can think of, I can turn it into a realistic visual depiction in your face. He's got everything he needs. He's got the team, the technology.
That's the kind of...
Can I say...
Yeah.
When it comes to the nostalgia thing, you made me realize... This is kind of how easy I am. Like, I'm a cheap date when it comes to this type of stuff. Right around now, in my early 40s, there are shows and movies being made and books being written that they really do. I think they're designed to just trigger my nostalgia and my age group. It's now, here's an example. Netflix made a Castlevania show. Anime Castlevania thing.
Okay.
I know we're talking a lot about video games.
This
isn't a movie, but really, that cartoon, I don't know if you've seen it. Did you see the Castlevania cartoon?
No.
On Netflix?
Uh-uh.
Well, come on. And let's face it, too. This is a movie episode, but like a lot of those shows are just... I mean, shows are movie quality when it comes to budget and, you know... storytelling or I don't know. TV shows used to be of lesser quality than movies, but now you just, you know, you watch a show and you can get all the same visual effects and good writing, and it's all of the same quality.
Yeah.
Some shows, you know, look, I think TV shows have a better track record than movies at this point. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. The Castlevania show, I couldn't believe it. It's just... They made an entire series out of not just Castlevania as a whole. They picked one particular game, which is called Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse, which is a 2D 8-bit game.
Yeah.
And so that cartoon was made for dudes like me, because if you were 10 years old, which I was when that came out, it was a big hit. They focused that entire show just on that one video game. And so I was, I can't even tell you if it was good or not. It's going to be good for me no matter what.
Right.
They've tuned into my nostalgia, but I'm going to tell you, it seems to me universally, it's just objectively from all sorts of different standards, it's a great show. It's just super entertaining.
Well, that brings up...
So again, I'm a cheap date, so I don't know. I don't know if you can trust me.
No, I think that brings up something that's happening in film and TV, but we'll talk about film more lately, last 20 years or so, than before, in that... I don't have a problem with this per se, but the idea that a movie can be essentially a branding commercial. It's like, we're going to make a fuck ton of movie out of this movie. We're going to make a fuck ton of money off this movie, but what we're going to also do is push this brand, so it's going to be in your toys and on your knapsacks. Do people say knapsack on your backpack? Whatever. It's going to, you know, something like, you know, the whole Marvel Universe thing, right? So for 10 years, they're making this movie, these movies, and, you know, they wrestle, I guess, with some social issues, but for the most part, it's just, look at what we can do with, you know, these characters. The stories aren't all that deep, and it's not necessarily that one can relate to them. So, yeah, it's going to be catering to fans of that kind of film, as opposed to trying to say something. I don't have a problem with that per se. It's fine with me, but it feels like Castlevania would be doing the same thing. What I'm getting at is, we've talked about this in other gaming episodes, I don't feel that the writing in gaming is all that incredible. I have yet to play a video game that moved me even close to the bottom of my top 100 best books of all time, right? They don't even come close. And yeah, okay, so you get a brilliant writer like, here, this would be a crack up. Hilary Mandel, who won the Booker Prize twice, get her to write the story of a video game. The execution of it would be in the visuals and maybe the acting, right? But the language and the consistency would be lost. And so I think movie makers are like, look, we can either, you know, work our asses off to make a brilliant film that makes, you know, maybe $8 million on its opening weekend, or we can pump up the CGI and push a brand and make fuck ton of movie. And that's what movies are nowadays. I was just now looking through, I'm sorry, I'm going on a rant. I was just now looking through the Academy Award nominees and winners for 2019. And it's like, I don't know any of these movies because they didn't advertise the way the Universal movies did. And so I don't know anything about them. I mean, I've heard of Bohemian Rhapsody, but The Green Book, I never saw. The Favorite, I never saw. If Beale Street Could Talk, never heard of, you know? You know what I'm saying? It's like there's films.
I don't know how they pick these movies. I don't know how the Academy works. I do feel like it used to be if a film wins the Best Picture, you should probably just watch it because it's a fucking classic. That's how I felt about it for a long time.
Yeah,
I'm not sure anymore.
Which movie won Best Picture?
Didn't Bohemian Rhapsody win Best Picture, or was it just the dude Rami Malek?
Rami got the Oscar for actor. See, I'm looking at this list and I don't know how it's organized because it goes actor, supporting actor.
Well, tell actress. Me Best Picture. See, I can't even remember. Probably the last few years, I don't even know what movie won Best Picture, and I don't even know if I was interested in watching it. At some point, I lost my trust in the Academy to pick a movie that I'm going to enjoy.
Well, yeah,
I can tell you, I know that recently, The Shape of Water won the Best Picture, and I still am not interested in watching that movie.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I think if you take. I was going to do this, but I forgot. I was going to write a joke about it. But essentially, so the joke was going to be along the lines of recently, the Academy of Arts and Sciences. Excuse me. No, I'm just making it more simple. Recently, the Oscars, the Emmys, the Grammys, and the Tonys got together and decided to rebrand themselves as the patting ourselves on the backies.
Yeah, right? There you go.
So I kind of hand-handed that, but
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'm looking
by the way, I'd like to apologize. I feel like I'm Kermit the Froggy
yeah?
a little bit. I've been smoking way more cigarettes, and I feel I've got a gravelly voice because of it. I'm not sick, unless you want to consider cigarette smoking. Addiction to cigarette smoking is definitely
yeah, I
sickness,
call that sick,
but,
yeah.
I call anyway.
That. I'm going to have to, this website's not telling me, so I have to go to another one. 2019 Academy Award, Best Picture. Here we go. And just real quick, let me, as an aside, point out to our listener that we are a podcast. This is number 128. We've been doing this for years, plural. And this episode is about movies. And I'm not going to say Joe is an idiot because I have a lot of respect for Joe, but I'm going to go ahead and say we are really not equipped to talk about movies in the least. I can't even tell you who was nominated for Best Picture, much less who won.
But man, just because we don't have our fingers on the pulse of the choices of the Academy doesn't mean we don't like and can't discuss movies. I mean,
well, I think it does. I think we're losers. It looks like Green Book won for Best Picture. Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice were all.
Have you seen A Star Is Born?
I haven't seen any of these movies. I haven't seen any of them. And I'm not going to see it.
Me neither, man. I haven't seen any of those.
Out of all of these, the only one that I am going to watch is Black Panther. I'm going to make a point to do that. Not because
I did see Black Panther.
Okay.
I liked it.
And I'm not going to watch it because I'm a Marvel fanboy. Not that I'm opposed to that. If I had time, I would watch all those movies. I just haven't yet. But because I believe the movie represents an effort that is very beneficial to us as a society, just in its, you know, the way they made it and stuff. And I don't want to go down a deep rabbit hole because I'll screw it all up, but the other ones, I mean, honestly, if maybe I'd see Vice, but the others just look boring as hell, you know?
I did see the first 5 minutes of that before I went to sleep.
Vice?
Vice, yeah.
Yeah.
And it did seem like a good movie, and I didn't fall asleep because it was boring as hell. I just...
Okay.
Turn on movies and I go to sleep a
lot. Let me restate that. Sorry, I did not realize I hadn't, because I never heard of this movie. I didn't know it's got Amy Adams in it, so I will see it. I will.
Yeah,
I will.
She's
see
awesome.
It. Yeah.
Well, I'll grant you this: if we had a movie only podcast, this is the thing about our podcast—we switch up themes all the time, and that pretty much relieves us of any responsibility to be subject matter experts.
That's a good part.
It's another kind of lazy component or aspect of our podcast. So, yeah, every once in a while we'll talk about movies, but we can't be expected to know what the fuck we're talking about.
Yeah, we're jacks of all trades. Yeah. Okay. So,
where are we at with time?
We're flying along. We're at minute 35. So,
Wow. Yeah. There's a couple of movies that I've seen that I would love to discuss with you briefly. Yeah. But if we I know we've got some kind of bells and whistles.
Should we go ahead and get those out of the way?
Do you have news?
Yeah.
This week?
Yeah. We've got some movie news. You want to hear it?
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Let me get this burp out of my throat and get myself ready. Here we go.
At least you're not farting on this podcast.
Good evening. I am Jason Mark. Today is August 4th, 2018, and this isn't the news. Hollywood Life recently reported that Academy Award-winning acting person Angelina Jolie, quote, looks effortlessly casual in white shirt and leggings. In unrelated news, experts are still baffled by computers crashing when asked to divide any number by the number of fucks I give. Ineptly labeled progressive rock band Tool is due to release their first album in 13 years this coming August 30th. The JBC news writers realize this is not movie news, and they didn't have a joke attached to it. They just wanted everyone to know.
Yeah.
A recent ruling at the U.S. Department of Plagiarism has relaxed some of the rules for uses of parody and satire, which has set off a social media explosion of wisdom and jokes coming from such diverse sources as Norm Macdonald, Saturday Night Live, and self-indulgent podcasts. In related news, Frank Stallone, everybody. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. Grossed over $60 million this weekend, a masturbatory guns and violence film starring Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham, it is alleged to have run into problems when it was discovered that each of Johnson's and Statham's pectoral muscles were working without Screen Actor Guild cards. We're working without Screen Actors Guild cards. There we go.
Very good.
Okay. Dutch filmmaker Tom Six was recently asked to visit the White House and consult on Donald Trump's new plan for the war on poverty. Six, who wrote, directed, and co-produced The Human Centipede, was reportedly found days later, huddled in a corner and muttering, "That shit's fucked up. That shit is fucked up." Pauly Shore started principal production on his latest project about a woman obsessed with Peter Parker, a.k.a. Spider-Man, the story of the Pied Piper, and the tongue twister Peter Piper. The film will feature Priscilla Presley and Piper Perabo and has been tentatively titled Piper's Pepper Parka versus the Pied Spider's Pickled Pecker. Kate Middleton, Katy Perry, and Mila Kunis have joined forces to write a new film to be called Samantha's Semi-Erotic Pantyhose Party. The three have been writing and rehearsing scenes in a dream I had last night, which is why I'm wearing these loose-fitting trousers. Those close to Davy Jones, when he died, claimed that he had the heart of a 25-year-old. Said 25-year-old could not be reached for comment. Oh, this is dumb.
Hey.
Bruce Willis threw the first pitch in a recent Phillies game, and the result was less than spectacular, bouncing about 6 feet in front of home plate. Later, it was revealed that the catcher signaled for a slider when Willis misread and expected a yippee-ki-yay motherfucker.
Thank you.
The Catholic Church has brought a lawsuit against Harvey Weinstein, claiming that his continued existence makes it too easy for people to argue that there is no God, which cuts into their business model and undermines profits. Similar suits have been brought by other religious organizations against Steven Seagal, Jeffrey Epstein, and Donald Trump. I'm Jason Mark. Okay. Thanks, Jason Mark, for the Hollywood news there, the movie news. That was pretty good. Most of those were about movies.
All right.
Yeah.
I am excited about the Tool thing.
Yeah, me too. We'll definitely have to talk about that when it happens. August 30th, folks. What did you say the name of it was, Joe? Fear Inoculum?
Fear Inoculum.
Fear Inoculum. Okay.
Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to, you know, Joe Rogan has a pretty good podcast, and he talked to Maynard James Keenan from Tool for a couple hours on that podcast, and it's just interesting to hear that guy talk. You don't get to you don't get to peer into his mind on a conversational level.
Yeah.
Very often, if ever. It was interesting just to hear him talk and joke around. It's cool, man.
For what it's worth, he's been in films.
Can you name a film? I know that he showed up on Mr. Show with Bob and David a couple times. I love that show.
Yeah. No, I can't without looking up it on Wikipedia, but I know he played the devil in a movie about women who are going crazy. I can't find what it is.
Oh, he did? Whoa.
Yeah. It was one of those super duper low budget, like, you know, you probably have trouble finding it, if I can even remember what it's called. But I think he was also, I saw him in one scene where he wasn't the main character, but, here it is. He also appeared as Satan in the 2002 film Bikini Bandits, and its sequel, Bikini Bandits 2 Goldenrod.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, Maynard. Okay.
Yeah. And he also
I wanted to tell you something. I had a disturbing thing today. Yeah? I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Oh, just the movie I did see him in, he was just a small bit part, and for some reason, a sheriff was talking to his deputy. Maynard James Keenan was the deputy, and the sheriff kept asking Maynard James Keenan to give him his corn nuts, and he just, in this scene, he would just chew them and stare, like, why should I do this, for like a long time, and then he gave him his corn nuts, so, yeah, dumb
that
story.
Seems like a good role
for
Maynard James Keenan. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Anyway,
let's go back
I saw this movie today. Can I just jump right in? Because I know we're going to run out of time.
Yeah,
and I've got to get your thoughts on this.
Yeah,
So this last week I saw a couple of movies. I was disappointed in both of them. Really. Yeah. One of them, I guess. Look, I wanted to go and see a horror movie today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Right in the middle of the movie, or I was kind of near the end, I found myself watching two naked people having sex and a bunch of old women naked grabbing their tits and moaning.
Okay.
In response to,
I know what movie you're talking about.
Fucking in the middle of this semicircle.
Yeah. I know what movie you're talking about. Don't tell me.
I suddenly was like, this is not what I signed up for. Like, it occurred to me, like, I came here to watch a horror movie. This is horrifying in a way, but it was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
The movie is Midsommar.
Yeah, I was going to guess that. I knew what it was. Because I knew you really wanted to see it, and it fits way better than anything I'm looking at right now. Although, there's some really good horror films out that I now want to go see, because I'm looking at this list.
Now, I do want to give Midsommar some credit. There are some scenes and some scenarios that are flat out nightmarish.
Yeah.
But even then, I didn't even feel like I was watching a horror movie.
Okay.
I guess maybe that's to the filmmaker's credit, because there are scenes in there where people are doing hallucinogens.
Okay.
And the way that he depicted a bad trip in that movie, which he did a couple times, was so, and I've had bad trips before, and he got so close to it in some weird aesthetic way, an emotional way, that I was feeling very uncomfortable.
Okay.
And it got me thinking, horror movies, you know, some of them are designed to, you know, disgust people or, of course, frighten people.
Yeah.
And I realized today that, yeah, if you're a good filmmaker, you can disgust me, you can horrify me, but, like, sometimes if that goes too far, or maybe if it's not attached to some other emotion or some other intrigue in my mind, I don't know. I haven't put all the pieces together, but, like, it's even though it was horrifying and it was disgusting and disturbing, it didn't give me what I want from a horror movie necessarily. There are a couple of scenes where I was like, oh, like, it gave me that.
Oh.
There's almost like there's a physical feeling, and not just a jump scare thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a slow creep that can build up, and you know, and you can feel it in your body.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe it. By the time there was a bunch of old ladies just grabbing their tits and moaning, I was like, "This is not a horror movie, guys."
Yeah.
I don't know.
I felt the same way. Yeah, I felt the same way watching the Matrix. What was it? Matrix 2, Matrix 3, with the big orgy scene. I was like, okay, you just, yeah, you moved away from talking about things that I'm interested in thinking about, and you've moved it to just spectacle.
Yeah.
And Midsommar, I don't think has been, I keep using this word branded. I don't know because I've seen it. I don't think it's been branded as a brand. It's like, here's a movie. There's things going on. It will scare the shit out of you, but that's because that's how the story unfolds. As opposed to, say, movies that are created just to, you know, like the Friday the 13th franchise, for example. Or any of those teen horror films, right? Like, here's a thing. We're going to throw the tropes at you because that's what we want. And that's fine. I like those movies, too. But it sounds like Midsommar was an attempt to be a little bit more.
I look around for horror movies that are able to go a little deeper or like really surprise me, and they're innovative, maybe emotionally, or they disturb you on a deeper level. Yeah. I am looking for stuff like that. Strangely enough, I think maybe that movie went so far in that direction that it lost me, and now I just feel bad.
Okay.
Now I just feel bad.
Well, for what it's worth, and we don't want this to be the horror episode, I think we should go into your thing next and then end on just movies in general. But I did not know this, but the Conjuring universe, which I am a fan of, has expanded. There is, I guess, a movie called The Curse of La Llorona, which is
in the Conjuring universe?
Yeah, I guess it's the, let's see, it's the priest from Annabelle 2? No, let's see.
Oh, okay. I heard that it was a turd.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I think, okay, I don't want to belabor the point on horror films, but maybe we can, after we do this thing, we can come back and talk about what it means to be a good movie versus bad and all this good stuff.
Yeah, and I do. I have another movie that I wanted to talk about, too. Okay. It's not a horror movie. So, I don't know. How much time do we have left?
We're at minute 47. Do you want to do your thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so, which intro do I use?
Let me set this up for you.
Is this a word from our sponsor, an argument intro? What am I doing?
No. It's just its own thing.
I can create a fake intro.
To tell you the truth, man, I have obscenitized a song for us.
Okay, well, the closest I come to that is this.
Okay.
I don't know if you can hear that last part. I need to turn the volume up on that.
I heard the hey, Joe. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Hold on a second.
You just keep on hacking into the microphone, and I'll press buttons.
ABC, motherfucker. Okay, so let me tell you.
Yeah.
We were talking last week. I think it was the last episode where we went into a little bit. I told the story of, bend you over and take you to the cleaners.
Yes.
Story. And I think a lot of adult life has to do with like disappointments, or if you're not careful with your emotional regulation, you'll start to just kind of feel like the world is out to get you a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's so everybody feels like they're being fucked. And what I wanted to do was talk about the movie Amadeus earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I brought it up because that's like one of the best movies ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking about that movie, and I was thinking about how, just being an adult, it's easy to feel like you're getting fucked all the time. Mm-hmm. And those two thoughts kind of came together. Anyway, with that in mind, let's hear this song.
Okay, here we go.
Stop, fuck me, fuck that anus, don't do it. I'm sick and tired of getting far. I only have one choice of internet provider. The cable bill's expensive and the price is getting higher, like $1 million a month, and still slow as bejesus, getting raped by Cox. Cable feels like Cox up in my anus. Swam, I came to my house to fix some leaky pipes. Also, my drain was clogged with baby butthole wipes. He replaced 3 faucets without authorization. Then he took his plumber penis and he popped it up my anus.
Fuck me, I'm the anus.
You bought a vacuum cleaner and it badly sucks. You know my last oil change cost $300. I got 5 chicken McNuggets in my 6-piece box. And my wife accidentally mismatched my socks. I'm a whiny bitch, I can't let things go. I never blame myself, cause I'm a pure asshole. I can't believe they bit me over and took me to the cleaners. Like they all pulled out their wieners and they fucked me up the anus.
Up the anus, 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 up the anus. Fuck, fuck me up the anus.
Get your penis up my anus.
Up the anus, 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 up the anus. Fuck, fuck me up the anus.
Why do they fuck me up the anus?
Fuck, fuck me up the anus.
I demand that you remove the penis placed inside my anus. Anus.
Up the anus,
stop pumping my anus.
Up the anus, 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 fuck, fuck me up the anus.
Oh, Dan.
What
okay,
do you think?
Let me ask you this question. How difficult would it be for you to put together some of our bits for previous shows, especially stuff that's been pre-recorded that doesn't have me laughing like an asshole over it? How hard would it be for you to put that together and like create either a CD or a virtual thing that we could sell to people to download? Because, motherfucker, I would pay for that. Fuck me up the anus. As soon as I recognized where it was from, that was it. I was gone. I was completely gone. Oh, that was so good. Because I love that album. It's like the only Falco album I own. And I like all the songs. And it's super cheesy. And Amadeus is one of my favorite films. So.
Well, yeah. And that was my only thing. I knew I was missing something as we were recording the show today. Because I actually wanted to talk about Amadeus, too. Because it's a really good movie. And I think about it a lot. Which is why, like, those two thoughts came together. And then I spent a bunch of time putting this... putting this obscenitized song together, and you know, those are real examples from my life, and then it was very cathartic, actually.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
that's really good. I mean, movies. We got 8 minutes left, or 7. Movies give us so much, you know, not just stories, but also, you know, the soundtracks and the social commentary and the beauty and the artistry of it, right? I mean, I have a huge crush on Amy Adams, and mostly it's because in the movies where she is, like, downtrodden and suffering, it just does the best thing it can for me. I could not have her do that in real life, right? But I don't have to. I don't have to know her in real life. I have the movies. I can just watch her, you know, wearing something from the 70s that reveals a lot of skin and being upset at Christian Bale, and that's just... that's what movies do for us. They give us things that we couldn't otherwise have, and...
I really am just drawn into her personality, or I don't know what it is about her, because she does have a lot of range. It's not like she's you know, she's not just playing Amy Adams every time. She's a hell of an actress.
But, yeah, she's all over the place. Yeah, absolutely.
She just draws me in emotionally.
Yeah,
with I don't know. With the, I guess is it her facial expressions? Is it the entire production? I don't know.
Well,
I
not
feel
to
like
get...
though, even if she weren't acting, I could just be in awe of her.
Well,
I could just look at her.
Let me counter that.
She's gorgeous, but I mean, come on.
No, let me counter that in some respects. On the topic of movies, as like when we go see a movie and say Tom Hanks is in it, like Tom Hanks is going to be in the Mr. Rogers movie, right?
Yeah.
And you know, if you had asked me, who should be Mr. Rogers? And Tom Hanks would have been one of my choices. But when we go see that movie, we're going to see, in addition to his expert portrayal, because he's a very good actor, we're also going to see Tom Hanks himself, right? And, yeah, I'll go see a movie just because Amy Adams is in it, because I like her. So I'm getting whatever story she's expertly taking part in, but I'm also getting just her. And what I'm getting at is, Joe, is that it may be the case that films create a context in which they can excel? You know what I'm saying? It's like, if somebody who had never seen an Amy Adams film, watched her in a movie, would they tell me that she's brilliant, or they say, no, I don't get it? And the only reason we like her is because we've seen her in things, and that's what we were told. It's that old thing about how this particular piece of writing is good because it sounds like Shakespeare, and it sounds like Shakespeare because it's good. You know, it's like, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing.
Yeah, well, Amy Adams, man.
I mean, have you seen...
You've never even brought up Amy Adams before, and now I've got myself, like... I have a huge crush on her.
Yeah.
We've never talked about it before. No. But, and I'm exactly like you in that I will watch... I look forward to watching movies with Amy Adams in them just so I can kind of take in her performance.
Right, right. And that's what I'm getting at in terms of... Not unlike, actually, let's be honest, in the last 4 minutes, not unlike what I was saying earlier about some movies aren't about anything except forwarding a brand. Now, I'm not saying when Amy Adams is hired by a company, they're like, we want to forward an Amy Adams brand. I'm not saying that. But it kind of is, right? Kind of. Like you say, hey, Tom Hanks is going to be in this movie. People go, oh, that's a Tom Hanks movie. He's good. I trust that this movie will be better than, you know, Human Centipede 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it, same with Amy Adams, and that's what I'm talking about, this context creates itself. Whereas, I mean, to go off on a bit of a tangent, indie movies that have people I've never seen on subjects I know nothing about that are still amazing are even more amazing, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I get what you're saying about, well, this just happens all the time where good artists... just the merit of their performances gives them more options to work with other people that are at a very high level of artistry, and then they're drawn to one another and they choose projects to work on with each other, and so collaborations between great artists are bound to happen, which is right. Why it's not just Amy Adams giving a good performance, it's her giving a good performance, you know,
with other actors under the direction,
with other great actors, and the director's awesome and the script is well written, and you know, and they've got the clout to choose someone, to cast someone like Amy Adams.
Right.
Amy Adams has the clout to get chosen by these other great artists.
Yeah, and that too plays into this idea of, like, they're not really breaking out of, they're not doing anything, there's no breaking out, right? It's like, here is a movie that will satisfy everything you want in a movie, and that's 100%. That's what it should be, right? That's what it should be. But then also, to their discredit, they won't be able to break out of that and surprise me unless they do something radical, like, you know, if Tom Hanks played if Tom Hanks was in, you know, Human Centipede 4, right? It would just be so bizarre, but if we were able to put aside the fact we're looking at Tom Hanks, we're going to see something we've never seen before, right? And that's what I was getting at before about these indie movies. In 2008, I saw a movie called Waltz with Bashir. And this is a movie that at no point in any of its descriptions would I ever say I want to see it, nor would I recommend it to anybody. But I did see it because I was writing movie reviews for a newspaper in... Rhode Island, and this is one of the ones they wanted reviewed, so I went and saw it. It's a documentary, first of all. It's pseudo-documentary. It's half animated and half not, and it's about this just this terrible, terrible massacre perpetrated by the Israeli army, and none of that stuff interests me at all, honestly. None of that. I don't know the director. I don't know the actors. I don't know the writer. None of this stuff, but it was an amazing experience. It was really, I mean, this is somebody who took full advantage of what movies can do to tell an incredible story and seriously change the way I viewed certain things. And
whoa.
I don't know. Okay. I love Amy Adams. I'll see anything, but I don't know if I'm going to get that from any movie she's in. Right? Because I'm already going to see it. She can't make me go, oh, I'm not going to watch that. Right? She can't do that. I'm going to watch it. So that's kind of what I'm saying.
Well, I knew that by the end of the show, I will have gotten a great recommendation from you. Say it one more time.
It's called Waltz with Bashir.
Waltz with Bashir. Okay.
B-A-S-H-I-R. It was created in 2008. It's mostly animated, but... And let me say this, just with no spoilers. You're going to be watching this. There's going to be all kinds of things that are going to go on in your mind as you're watching. Opinions are going to form. which is what should happen. But just prepare yourself to fully absorb the ending of this. Don't hit pause. Don't go, I'm going to go get a sandwich while it's playing out. No, no, no. Just sit there and wait for it, because, yeah, it'll wow. change the way you think about certain things, in my opinion, I think.
That's a shining review.
Well, there you go. And
I've got, maybe we can end off with...
yeah, go ahead.
Let me tell you, I saw this movie called Border. I believe it's like Scandinavian or something.
Okay. Border.
I was real excited to see it. And I saw about half of it before. Okay. I think I said something like this. Oh my God. Okay, fuck this. And then I hit stop.
Okay.
Do you know what this movie's about?
No clue whatsoever.
All right, so it's about a customs agent, or like a border agent.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a fantasy, though it's mm-hmm. played super realistic. This woman she's a human being, but she seems like she's almost like half wolf.
Okay.
And she's very, very different than, like, sexually, just she's a different creature than mm-hmm. most human beings. And I think that the movie might actually have a really good message to it, but I missed it because I ended up getting grossed out. She is a customs agent at the border, and she can smell people's, like, fear or shame or anxiety. She can smell that. So she catches everybody. If they're hiding something, she knows it, right? So that's interesting. And I heard that Aubrey Plaza loves this movie, and she, like, did a screening of it.
Really?
There's a whole really funny, interesting story behind that. Look it up. Okay. But I'm like, hey, that's great. This has got to be a great movie. Well, it totally grossed me out. All of a sudden, kind of like Midsummer, I found myself watching two dog people naked,
mm-hmm.
and they both had vaginas, and then they both, and they show this, it's very graphic,
mm-hmm.
they both had dog wieners pop out of their vaginas and go erect.
Yeah,
and like then the dog people flopped around all over each other naked. And does this mean that, like, I'm not progressive enough or something? That scene seemed like way too much. I liked the character. Yeah. I was into the story, but I felt like I didn't need to see this. Depiction of sex.
Yes. Yes. Well.
Now, if it were just heterosexual sex, I watch that all the time, and that turns me on because I'm a heterosexual guy. That's fine. Well, two people that are half dogs with dog penises coming out of their vaginas, I couldn't get there.
Right,
It certainly didn't turn me on. It went completely the other direction. I almost puked.
Right, and not to get in too deep with analysis, because we only got 2 minutes of Reich Sub left, but... I do think there's a huge problem with gratuity, especially gratuitous sex and or gratuitous violence in films. I recognize that sometimes filmmakers are attempting to set a tone, and that includes setting an uneasy tone, a tone that's supposed to make you be wrapped in the story, but at the same time, coldly creeped out by it. They want that dual point of view so that what they say has more nuance and explores the subtlety a little bit better. I get that. I guess you'd have to do an experiment of some sort and say, here, I've got 200 people watching Border. 100 of them are watching the original. The other 100 are watching without the vagina penis dog sex scene. And then see what their takeaway is, right? I'm inclined to think that you have been acclimatized to heterosexual sex, which is probably why they chose the dog penis vagina sex scene, because they wanted to startle you.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah,
and I don't know. In fact, I thought that maybe they were trying to make me feel ashamed at mm-hmm. my own reaction.
Sure,
that seems kind of the meta analysis there is shaky, but it was weird because the whole thing is, yes, these people are different and they're marginalized. They're because she's not the only one.
Yes,
there's other ones out there, of course, because then you have That's how the sex scene happened.
Of course.
But, you know, it's... Am I an asshole for being like, oh, these people that are abnormal are now having sex and that grosses me out? And is that supposed to show me kind of how intolerant I am of other people? It was weird feeling that I got.
Well, let me say this.
And that's the end of our comedy show.
Based on the Wikipedia article, there's another theme going on underneath there. And, yeah, you let that show fuck you up, the anus.
Good night.